Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with this message of inspiration and hope that has come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. The Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York, is the site of an ongoing drama that continues to draw people from afar. From 1975 on, the Blessed Virgin would appear at the site and deliver a number of earth-shaking prophecies that are about to unfold in our time. This, by the way, is the site of the 1965 New York World's Fair, where Pope Paul VI gave his apostolic blessing during his extraordinary visit to America. However, the Pope's blessing merely foreshadowed the ultimate blessing that would later descend upon this site. In the words of Jesus, we have made our home upon these grounds. The hand of Our Lady is calling her children home in the advent of the greatest cataclysm to have occurred from the beginning of time. She truly is the ark of grace that God has provided for the world at this last hour, and she calls us by name to enter this ark, whereby she may be able to cater to our particular needs and concerns like no other counselor or doctor will be able to do. As God created each of us unique, so he deals with each of us uniquely. He knows our frame. He knows how to take care of his own. But he does this through our Blessed Mother. It is particularly at Bayside that the hand of God makes itself known through this humble mediatrix of grace. So often we hear people say, I pray, but God never answers. Well, this is not a phrase that you're going to hear too often at Bayside. It seems that more often than not, people's petitions are answered at these holy grounds. It calls to mind the Bible verse where Jesus says, If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father from heaven give the good Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11:13. And this is essentially what Our Lady says, that if it's for our welfare and advance in the faith, heaven will answer our petitions. As she says on December 30th, 1972, quote, This cure, if not given physically, I assure you, my children, will be given to you spiritually. This is why we always tell people that if you have a petition, write it out and bring it to the shrine or send it by mail, and we will place it at Our Lady's feet at one of the upcoming vigils. Our Lady is most attentive to your petitions, and she certainly has proven this over the years. As Our Lady herself has said, all who come to these hallowed grounds will receive graces in abundance, graces of cure and conversion. When you go to Bayside, you are literally stepping into a shower of grace. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we have with us today a friend of Our Lady, Martha Pulido of Los Angeles, California, and also her daughter, Crystal, and her fiance, John. Good to have you with us all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Martha, we'll start with you. How long have you been a devotee of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside?
Since 1989, I went to Bayside for the Feast of St. Teresa.
And what was your reaction when you first went to the grounds?
I was very skeptical. I thought the people there were just extremists and traditionalists. And I had not been a practicing Catholic for over 20 years. And I did not believe in Our Blessed Mother or the saints.
Eventually, obviously, you came around to the truth of the message. At one point, you accepted.
When I saw them raise the blue light, which indicated that Our Blessed Mother was speaking to Veronica, I did not kneel. When they raised the red light that our Lord was present, I knelt and I asked him. And I heard him speak to me. I did not speak out loud, but every question I asked was given to me in my mind. And from that moment on, I had a tremendous contrite of heart.
You had a tremendous conversion right on the spot.
Yes.
That was at your first vigil.
Yes.
When you actually petitioned our Lord, you actually heard a voice, or was it just a strong communication?
It was a strong communication, and I also asked about the faith, because I doubted whether our Catholic faith was the truth, and I was given an answer.
And so you had like a direct confirmation.
Yes, yes.
And thereupon, you returned to the church, I take it?
I began to assist at Mass as often as I could, to read everything that I could read about our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and the saints. And I began to pray to Padre Pio to help me to have a devotion to the rosary, because in my readings I found that every saint who loved our Lord and our Blessed Mother had a tremendous love for the rosary.
And of course, following your first trip to Bayside, I take it you also went to confession too.
Oh yes, I began to go frequent confession. And in fact, my husband was not a practicing Catholic either for many years, and I prayed for his conversion, and he did not believe in going to confession. And he began to go to confession to assist at Mass.
So, I mean, this just snapped you right back to life instantly.
It was as if though a veil was removed from my eyes.
I mean,
it was something, an impact that was tremendous, tremendous impact.
And of course, this grace has remained with you since.
You yes, are with it today, no been, less?
It's stronger than ever. I'm a very firm believer in Bayside.
Now, I understand that the grace of Our Lady has touched your family also in a very extraordinary way. Crystal, we'll start with you here. Could you maybe relay a little bit what happened now in your situation?
Yes. Actually, I just had to come from a football practice with my nephew. My mom called us on her cell phone stating that Bear was paralyzed. We had first thought maybe he got run over or somebody had attacked him.
Bear is your
Bear.
Dog.
Bear is our dog.
That's your dog.
He's a chow chow.
Okay.
And when we seen him, he could not walk. His hind legs were dragging and he was crying and he was pretty sad and depressed. So we called our veterinarian and we asked him a few questions and he said there was nothing that we can do. We had to bring him in the morning. And when he told us that he was paralyzed.
Now, this condition that the dog had, I take it was something that the veterinarians are familiar with, something they can
Correct.
Diagnose. And they did diagnose this as a distinct disease or condition.
Yes.
And they having done so, they determined that there's nothing that can be done for the dog.
He had a 5% chance of ever walking with or without surgery.
And so they were encouraging you to put the dog to sleep.
Yes.
And so what did you do?
We cried. I cried for quite a few hours, and I just begged and asked Our Lady to help us, and I had sort of lost faith. And
at the time, were you actually attending Mass at the time?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
And I sort of lost faith in Our Lady. And when this happened to Bear, I sort of felt like this was Our Lady's way of calling me.
And John, where were you at this time?
I was in shock. I was in disbelief. I didn't understand what was going on at the time. And I felt, you know, why is this happening to us? Out of all things to happen, why is this happening to a part of our family? At that time, I was an aspiring Catholic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of felt disbelief at the time. I felt, you know, maybe this wasn't the right thing. Maybe this wasn't for me. You know, I have to keep faith. I have to believe that everything's going to work out fine and hope and pray to our Blessed Mother and pray.
So you were praying to our Blessed Mother, even though you were not a Catholic, but you were already in the format of praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So Martha and Crystal, you resorted to some direct action to try to get the dog better. What did you do now?
Well, I asked my mom a few questions. I said, if Our Lady can heal humans, do you think that she can heal animals? And my mom said, most definitely. So she brought out the rose petal, and she says, you have to have all the faith in your heart and soul, and not to give up.
So you used then the rose petal on your dog? You rubbed it on him? Or
every morning and every afternoon, I would just sit there and pray a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers. And I would just talk to him and tell him, you know, if he wants to live, he needs to let us know. And every day I would talk to Our Lady and ask her, you know, to give Bear the courage to eat and walk. And not to give up.
So you were gathering graces for Bear, but as yet there was no tangible sign of recovery. Now, what was going through your mind, Martha, during this time?
I was at home when he became paralyzed. He screamed. I was in the front yard, and I ran to the back, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And, of course, I started crying to see him in such a terrible state. And everybody was upset and crying, and I had remembered I had continually as I assisted at Mass and I saw that my daughter was not assisting, I would pray always to Our Lady and I would ask her for her maternal love to bring my daughter back.
So you were hoping that maybe this could be used to bring her back. So you were hoping for the dog to get better.
So my daughter called me from the veterinarian telling me that they had to put him to sleep. And she asked for my opinion and I said, let's wait and hope that he may be healed, or we'll ask for guidance first. Let's not jump to put him to sleep.
So I understand, Martha, at one point, while Crystal and John were praying for the situation, you actually took this petition to New York. This was on the Feast of St. Michael?
Yes. I took a petition. I wrote it in my hotel room, and I asked Our Blessed Mother to please cure our dog, because I hate to see my daughter suffering because of her dog. And I came home, and he was cured on the Feast of Our Guardian Angels. I was just parking my vehicle at 5:30, and my daughter was parking her vehicle and opened the door and was shouting, and the neighbors were out, and the dog started walking and running to one of our neighbors, and the neighbors were screaming, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And I turned and I looked at my daughter, and I said, what day is it? What day is it today? And it was the Feast of Our Guardian Angels.
So that's the feast right after the Feast of St. Michael. You brought your petition to Bayside on the Feast of St. Michael. You came home a couple days later on the Feast of the Guardian Angels.
Yes.
The dog suddenly emerged from his illness, was fawning his tail, happy to the amazement of all the neighbors. What, could you maybe tell us a little more about the reaction of the neighbors?
Well, the neighbors were astonished, and they were very happy. And our neighbor, her name is Tootsie, was shouting that it was a miracle. And my daughter, Crystal, was
Yeah, let's get some reaction
tears.
From Crystal now.
Well,
doing somersaults?
I was screaming. I was happy. I was shouting. I was just amazed. But I knew that he wasn't going to be fully healed. I knew that one leg was always going to be a reminder.
A little bit of a little limp, perhaps.
Right.
He can, but, he,
but
know,
he can walk. He can
walk
now. Run.
He's happy.
He's
he eats.
He's happier than ever.
Bear walked, and he just has a slight limp. But I told my daughter that this is a reminder from our Lord and our Blessed Mother that our Lord gives and our Lord can take it away.
A little reminder not to forget the graces that are given. In fact, we're reminded of the incredible care of actress Susan Hayward. If you recall, it was what, April 1973, Susan Hayward was diagnosed as having no less than 20 brain tumors. That was a very fatal condition, offering no hope. In fact, she was given 36 hours to live when she received in the hospital the blessed rose petal that Veronica had rushed her. And no sooner did she receive the rose petal, she immediately started to get better. She emerged from her deathbed. Within a week or two, she was up and around. She had resumed her normal active life. In fact, she had contracted for a new television series. It was being hailed as a miracle. However, Veronica at one point had sent Miss Hayward a little note just to remind her that the time is going to come when she's going to have to testify to this grace, that the cure was conditional. And when the press did question Susan Hayward about her cure, she said, well, I just knew my faith in God would cure me. And it was very nice. It was very polite. But she didn't give public witness to the Shrine of Our Lady of the Roses, as Veronica had reminded her should be done. And lo and behold, it was within a very short time, I think a week later, her tumors returned as mysteriously as they had disappeared. And within a short time, a few weeks, she died. So that was a very tragic mistake and a very tragic lesson. Of course, you're going to make sure that you correct the mistake of Susan Hayward, and you're gonna remember where the grace came from.
Most definitely.
And what's your thought on this, John?
It's giving me a lot of inspiration. It's gonna, it's gonna make me do all the steps that it takes to become a Catholic, and do everything I can to, you know, help others understand that there is a God, there is our Blessed Mother that's out there watching over us, and you know, if you believe in them, everything that seems bad is going to work out for the best.
And you believe fully that Our Lady is working through her shrine at Bayside in New York?
Yes.
You intend to go there someday?
Yes.
Martha, back to you. Now, where are you at now? I mean, what, describe a little bit for our listeners your life as a practicing Roman Catholic. What do you do?
Well, I assist at Mass as often as I can. I pray the rosary. And I keep especially in my prayers the souls in purgatory and those who are dying and our priest.
I take it you've probably been praying for your family and your daughter and your husband
over
the years.
Definitely.
So you see this as a
because
maybe a prayer answer.
Because in our family, my sisters were five women, and we were also not practicing Catholic. Now my nieces, nephews are assisting at Mass. They're attending Catholic school. And I had an aunt who was a charismatic. And she's, after my speaking to her about that the charismatic movement is not from God, she stopped attending these meetings.
So one by one, your family members are starting to come back to the faith. Now we've added a crystal here.
Most definitely, yes. To myself, when I was younger, the most important thing to me was education. And going to college, what they teach is that believing and having a faith just hinders your progress. And I was becoming very materialistic, and I felt that so long as I was a good person, I did not need to assist at Mass, and I didn't need to pray. Mm-hmm. And now I feel very, very different.
Now, through the light of Our Lady's message, you have come to understand that the true learning and the true light comes from above.
Oh, most definitely. Like
not
I
through
said,
science and
I feel as if though our Lord removed a veil from my eyes because I was living in darkness.
That was incredible the way it happened. Maybe you can describe a little more too, where were you at before?
I was working as a detention service officer. There was a lot of hatred among nationalities and a lot of injustice with the kids. And I felt like I was falling into a terrible snake pit. I started to become very ill with severe depression. and I didn't know the warning signs. And when I went on to college, I had emphasis in psychology and sociology, but never did I know that I would be a victim of mental illness. So my sister works for the sheriff's. She handed me a message of Our Lady of the Roses, which one of the secretaries that worked there gave her. And I began to pray every time I'd read the message. And I said, Lord, if this comes from you, give me the inspiration to want to go to Bayside. So when I did go, as I said, for the Feast of St. Teresa, I didn't ask our Lord to cure me from my illness because I deserved it. And it was a way that he brought me back to the faith.
That did cure you of your illness, basically.
Yes.
Naturally, we're going to have a mental anguish from time to time, but that doesn't really constitute an illness. We have to have crosses of different kinds, physical crosses, spiritual crosses, emotional crosses, mental crosses. But this particular depression that you were having basically lifted when you went to New York.
Oh, most definitely.
And it really, you come to realize now that
it was
the only
it.
Real disorder, mental disorder that exists in man is the need to commit a sin.
Yes, most definitely.
See, that puts everything in the proper light. And that's not something that sociology and science understands.
No, most definitely.
So you received a great gem of knowledge when you went to that vigil.
Oh, I did. I was overwhelmed with this compunction, and I would just cry. Like, I could feel his suffering, his love. And when I assist at Mass, it's such a tremendous joy that I cannot even explain.
The science of the saints.
Yes.
You were telling me you went to see the movie, The Passion, not too long ago, and it kind of choked you up a little bit.
Oh, my God, I cried, yes, because when I was growing up, I always thought that, well, he is the Son of God. I'm sure God gave him the strength to bear it, but after seeing the movie, it gave me a totally different perspective on his tremendous love. Then I remember what the nun said when I was a little girl, that every time we do something bad, it's as if we take a whip and we whip our Lord ourselves.
Actually, I think that's one of the reasons that Mel Gibson, in the movie, if you recall, when they were nailing Christ on the cross, at one point the executioner was handed a mallet that he hammered into our Lord's hands. But that was Mel Gibson that actually handed him that mallet, because that was symbolism. That was his way of saying, that's what my sins used to do to Christ.
And also, when I was growing up, the nuns told us, and this is what really astonished me, is that we would never, never receive communion in the hand. And I was 8 years old then, and communion was not given in the hand. So when I went to Bayside and I started to read the message, it took a profound meaning to me. And I never received communion in the hand.
And so this has not only brought you back to the church, but it brought you back as a practicer of tradition.
Yes, most definitely. It enlightened me tremendously. And I have had a tremendous personal relationship with our Lord and our Blessed Mother.
And you go to Bayside each year at the anniversary?
I have been going twice a year since 1989.
And you're going to be joining us this year for the anniversary?
Most definitely, yes.
Crystal, any comments?
My only comments is never give up on Our Lady and Our Lord. They're always with us.
John?
To those out there that do not believe, you need to believe. Believe in Our Blessed Mother, because they make miracles happen. And if it wasn't for Our Blessed Mother and Our Lord, my dog wouldn't be here. Even though people think dogs are not part of your family, they truly are part of your family. They're like your own children.
Yes, in fact, I remember when Veronica's dog, I believe his name was Trixie, died. Our Lady, in so many words, extended Veronica her condolences. She was very sensitive.
Oh,
and it shows that heaven is sensitive
yes,
to these
yes.
things, that they're not unmindful of all these little particulars. And so, Martha, your final comments for our listeners.
What I just wanted to say is that in church we're taught that we are a community and that we should receive communion as a unit. But to receive communion is a personal relationship with our Lord, and that we must maintain tradition, and that we must bend or bow our knees before our God. And no matter what a priest tell you, to receive communion in the hand is sacrilegious.
Absolutely, because our communion is with God. And when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, it is called Holy Communion, because at that moment we are brought into that close, intimate union with God, not with community or with one another, but with Jesus Christ on the cross, who has just sacrificed himself for us at Holy Mass. And so it is the community of saints that we are united with when we go to Mass. The modern church will tell you that we are in communion with one another. But that is the part of the heresy, the humanism, and the modernism that Our Lady has bewailed so many times in her message.
Yes.
And really, it seems it's only through this message of Our Lady of Roses that we can have the grace to write above this and really see the present-day apostasy as it really is.
And the hand of peace also should not be given. And it is a moment that we should maintain kneeling and with love and reverence of whom we are about to receive.
So you would say that true peace is a cleansed conscience.
That's right, yes.
So in other words, we make our peace with God.
That's right, yes.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we'll be returning to our guests in just a moment. But right now, we want to remind our listeners of the free information and items that are available to you. And for these, you can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call our office line at area 718-359-3908. Or better yet, log on to our website at www.smwa.org. With every packet that we send out, we include a rose petal blessed by Jesus on the sacred grounds that has attached to it the power of cure and conversion. Now, with regards to our interview just a moment ago, we should point out that the veterinarian was able to offer no explanation for the sudden mysterious cure of our guest dog, Bear. But of course, we all know the explanation. Martha brought her petition to the grounds for the Feast of St. Michael and St. Teresa at the end of September, beginning of October 2003. And within a couple few days, the dog mysteriously leaped back to health after an 8-month paralysis. And of course, the rest is history. The dog has since been eating like a bear, full of spunk. And this has not only brought Crystal back to the church in answer to Martha's prayer, but has affected the conversion of her fiancé, John, who now eagerly awaits his baptism into the Catholic Church. So certainly, heaven does work in very mysterious ways. Our Lady says that heaven will try to reach us through persons, places, and things, and I guess that would even mean dogs. Martha also mentioned her profound experience on the grounds, where she actually heard our Lord's voice, or a powerful inspiration, calling her back to the faith. Sometimes our Lord speaks to us in very clear, distinct sound, if that's what it's going to take, to call us home to our roots. The sacred grounds have been a home for the faithful and true of these last times. Since Vatican II, we have seen the scattering of the bands of God's holy people, with people leaving the church and joining apostate religions because the clergy of our time have done everything in their power to discourage the faithful about their Catholic faith and devotion that they grew up with. But Our Lady has retrieved many of these wandering souls and brought them back to the church and has bolstered their confidence again in the one true church which their own leaders today have turned against. Our Lady says that many clergy today have become like rats burrowing into the foundation of the church. They are using their rank to destroy the church and to turn the people against the Catholic religion, and they abuse the faithful if they refuse to turn against their own religion. Just recently, it was reported in the news that a woman knelt down to receive communion in the Cathedral of the Diocese of Orange, California. That, by the way, is Holy Family Cathedral, which is presided over by Bishop Brown. And the bishop brutally assaulted the woman and physically yanked her to her feet and ordered her to stand up. That's the kind of abuse the faithful are getting today from their priests and bishops. The shepherds are tearing away at their sheep. But Our Lady calls her sheep by name and invites them into the Ark of Grace. And she says, "Don't worry, you have no one to answer to but my son." As Our Lady has often said, "My own will know me." We are back once again with our guests.
Now, Martha, you've indicated before you've seen plenty signs to confirm that this is a true message from God. But are there any other signs that also confirm the validity of this message?
Oh, yes, definitely. At times I feel that it is the devil's fury. Often when I hand out a message, I encounter really bad incidents. One day I was coming from work and I had been handing the message on the platform of the metro. And when my husband came to pick me up, this vehicle approached us and the man attempted to run us off the road. My husband honked at him and he came very close and pointed a gun at my husband. And I have encountered horrible things like this when I pass a message. Someone will turn and say something evil to me, or people will say horrible things to me and make fun of me. And sometimes my husband will turn horrible, especially when I encountered this for about 10 years. Each time I was going to leave to Bayside, for 2 or 3 days, he would start drinking and become very violent.
So your involvement in the Bayside, it just automatically triggers the reaction of the devil all the time. You've been passing the messages out for several years now.
Yes.
You're like an apostle for the cause. Well, of course, when these things do happen, that is an indication that you are doing something right. St. Paul says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so this is part of your living for God, to pass the message out. I mean, this message is powerful.
It is.
And
it
there's
is.
Nothing more destructive to Satan's cause than to expose his errors and his conspiracies today through this powerful light of Our Lady of the Roses. This is, she's exposing all the darkness of the evil works today. And so anybody that is going to assist Our Lady in this mission, they're going to have to bear some of the brunts for this. And I think you've been a pretty good specimen there.
Yes.
Now, Crystal, you mentioned before that you had slipped away from the church a little bit. When did this occur?
It occurred about the age of 15, my sophomore year of high school. I just became too much of the world, wanting materialistic items, not thinking that Our Lady and Our Lord came first in my life.
So you got lured away a little bit with the temptation and the influence
right.
of the world, the pleasure of the world.
The pleasure of the world, of wanting to do and say and be how I want it to be.
And
not
the philosophy of,
God.
Of the world.
Right.
And which not, is?
You know, just partying, live for yourself, don't care about what others think or say. There's no such thing as a mortal sin or sin's self. And my mother would always tell me that I'm living the life of a sinner, and I would just mock her and laugh at her. But until my dog was paralyzed and made me realize that my life is of sin. I mean, our Blessed Mother would want me to live a life that she's asked us all to live, which is to receive Holy Communion, go to church, and to pray the rosary.
Well, thank you for your testimony today. I'm sure this is going to be an inspiration for our listeners. And hopefully we'll see all of you in New York this
thank
June.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
This is St. Michael's Broadcast. And again, we want to remind our listeners of the free information that's available to you. Send your requests to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.